This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks on KQB with expert advice from CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert Jim Lang, the best-selling author of Retire Secure and The Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. Now on the air and online worldwide at paytaxeslater.com, get ready to talk smart money.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. I'm David Baer, here in the KQV studio with Jim Lang, CPA, attorney, and author of two best-selling books, Retire Secure and The Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. For decades, financial advisors and mutual fund managers have focused primarily on outperforming various stock market indices. Moving forward, especially in the area of retirement planning, more attention is being paid to other factors that have been shown to individually and collectively provide better returns over the long run. This new measurement tool is referred to as Gamma. For insights into how Gamma can make investing and retirement planning more successful for you, the Lang Money Hour welcomes P.J. Denuso back to the show. A nationally recognized expert in investment management, PJ has been featured in numerous business publications and TV shows. Approved as one of the first 100 dimensional fund advisors, he's rated as a 5-star advisor by Paladin Registry Investor Watchdog, scoring in the top 1% of America's more than 800,000 investment advisors. Based in the Pittsburgh area, his firm, Denuso Index Advisor, also consistently ranks among the country's top 500 investment companies. For the next hour, PJ and Jim will discuss the elements of a Gamma investment strategy. It's sure to be an interesting and informative hour, and without further ado, I'll say hello, Jim, and welcome back, PJ.
Welcome, PJ.
Hello, good evening.
Before we get into the meat of the program, I do feel honor-bound for full disclosure. Usually when I have a guest on the radio show, typically I try to get the best experts that I can that have great information for our listeners. And usually they have written a book, and if it's a good book, I will do a little plug for the book. But frankly, I don't really have any stake or any ulterior motive other than just trying to have good information and potentially have somebody that might be interested in our services. But there isn't really any ulterior motive or motivation for me to plug the business of the guests that I have. This is not the case with PJ Denuso. I do have an interest, and I should be very straightforward about that. I believe that clients need two things for financial success. One is some of the strategies that we often talk about on the radio, things like Roth IRA conversions and Social Security and the safe withdrawal rate and tax efficiency and the kind of things that our office does and has been doing for 30 years. And I also think that people need excellent money management skills using low-cost index funds. I believe there is no finer financial advisor in Pittsburgh or anywhere that I've met for that matter that does a better job than PJ Denuso or that represents a better set of funds, which is Dimensional Fund Advisors. A number of years ago, when I was finally permitted to distribute or to represent Dimensional Fund Advisors, I knew that I myself and my firm was not really capable of doing the full job that I thought people needed. I asked the people at Dimensional Fund Advisors who is the best DFA advisor in the Western Pennsylvania area. There was zero question. It was PJ Denuso, who I had known but not known well. Anyway, PJ and I got together and we have formed a deal where if somebody comes in through me or this radio show or some of the efforts that I do, that our office does the, we call it running the numbers. We do all the calculations, the Roth IRA conversions, the Social Security analysis, how much people can spend, the safe withdrawal rates, and then meet with people at least on an annual basis to do those conceptual things. And PJ's office actually does the money management, including not only investing in the excellent low-cost index funds, but also all the things that he does. And we're going to talk about some of those things today. And then PJ and I split the fee, so rather than a client paying for his services and then my services, they're just paying 1% or less, depending on how much money is invested, and then PJ and I split that fee. We believe it is a win-win-win. That is, it is a win for PJ because he gets clients he would otherwise not have received. It's a win for me because that means I can do what I want to do, which is to be the trusted advisor without having to manage the money. But it's a double win for our clients who get the benefits of our firm, our running the numbers, Roth, Social Security, tax efficiency, safe withdrawal rate, etc., and I believe the finest money management available. So anyway, with that little disclaimer saying that I am not independent with PJ, again, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
All right, so one of the things that we wanted to talk about today is not how wonderful our funds are, although I think they are, and how they've outperformed the market, although I think they have. But to talk about really some of the really important things that financial advisors and a financial advisory service really can add value. And even John Bogle said, which shocked me because I kind of consider him as wonderful as he is. This is the guy that founded Vanguard, probably one of the cheapest men in America. And even he said, having a financial advisor was a very valuable piece of work, in his exact words. So, PJ, can you tell us a little bit about Gamma and some of the value that the appropriate type of advisor could potentially add to the, let's say, to the game for an investor?
Yes, Jim. And that is, and I was just thinking, you just mentioned a very important topic. If I can just assist the audience. And whenever we're meeting, as you said, you and your team of CPAs and estate planning attorneys in the office, we tell individual investors that with our relationship with Danuzzo Index Advisors and the Lang Financial Organizations, that we have your entire metaphorical personal financial life, your entire house covered with all four corners. Jim, again, as he said, being an expert in estate planning, wills, trusts, everything associated with those, tax planning and tax preparation, Roth IRA conversions, as he said, on our side of the room in one of the corners, the investment planning, investment management, and in the other corner, the financial planning, retirement planning. So one thing that a lot of clients do come for us, Jim, is what you had mentioned earlier, that one-stop shopping and a comfort that when they've been with other advisors or other firms, a lot of the things fall through the cracks because they're having to go outside of that room that we have everything covered. And the CPA is not talking to the estate planning attorney. The estate planning attorney has no idea how the investments are being managed. So that is, as you had mentioned, a major plus for our relationship. And probably, Jim, the specific topic that you came up with this evening, one of the happiest days I've had the last couple of years was whenever Morningstar, David Blanchett, head of research for retirement planning at Morningstar, which a lot of the listeners will recognize, came up with a name basically for what you and I do, all these good things you've done for clients for years. And I meet with them like, hey, I love Jim. He's done great for me by A, B, and C. They finally put a name to it. And it sounds a little bit esoteric to the audience, maybe Gamma. But, you know, where Mr. Blanchett and his group came up with the name was, the audience may not be familiar, but there's a name for the market returns, the beta, B-E-T-A of the market. And the beta would be, of the S&P would be 1.0. That's just the return of the market. And everybody, as you had said earlier, Jim, in the introduction is, after that elusive, what we call professionally, alpha, in plain English, outperforming the market. And what Morningstar came up with was quite astonishing, and they've gone back for a number of years, and they've started to quantify the value that our firms, synergistically, what we do, brings to the end user, to our clients, and it is quite dramatic. And again, it's one of the most excited topics that I have been exposed to the last couple of years. That what we're going to talk about in Jim's show today for the next hour are a half a dozen or more major topics that in combination, as per the research by Morningstar, increase a retiree's income by approximately 25% or upwards in retirement. So if an individual has a total portfolio structure where they may be able to receive $2,000 a month, an additional 25%, that gets them up to $2,500. If it's $5,000, that's an additional $1,250. So the audience can certainly appreciate that's a significant increase in disposable income. The first one at Morningstar has listed is what they refer to as the total wealth framework to determine optimal asset allocations. And we work together on that. I know you've always liked our money bucket stack approach that we discussed.
I love that, by the way. And whenever you hear total approach like this, I think it's critical, and whether somebody uses us or somebody else, I think it's critical if you're using a total approach that rather than going to somebody who's going to sell you a product for which they are going to receive a commission, that you have a fee-based arrangement with fiduciary advisors, meaning that we not only have the moral, because I believe we all have the moral, but also the legal obligation to do what is in the client's best interest, which is one of the things I love about your firm, that you do that so consistently.
Yes, and that is, we were, and like I said, really elated that someone has actually identified this and named it, so to speak, given it some proper finance nouns. But this optimal asset allocation, Jim, that we've been able to help a lot of our joint clients with is, we've talked about on the show before, is that the individual listeners, as they're preparing for retirement, or if you're in retirement already and wondering regarding your overall plan, we'd like to divide it into what we call your needs bucket. That would be your food, clothing, shelter, healthcare, and transportation. Then your wants bucket, that would be all of your discretionary income, vacations, travel, extra dining out, helping your children or grandchildren. And then your dreams and wishes bucket, that's your legacy after you pass on, your dreams for extra vacations, et cetera, that second home, or maybe you spend 2 or 3 months out of the year in Florida or Arizona. But as the audience can appreciate, those are three completely distinctly different objectives and goals. And where we see a lot of clients, I mean, I can think off the top of my head, Jim, we probably brought on 5 to 10 new clients last year in 2013, just because they were at firms that had their complete, all those objectives in one strategy, and it doesn't work out well. If an advisor's placed someone with 100% in stocks for their needs bucket for food, clothing, and shelter, when we go through any type of market volatility, in plain English, they're having a very difficult time sleeping because it's not matched up with their own unique objectives and goals.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say that you just go to an advisor and he doesn't do any thinking and he says, okay, you should be 50% stock, 50% bonds, and you don't need all the things that you do. And I would like you to talk a little bit about the bucket analysis, because I think that it adds tremendous value. What's the problem with just saying, okay, 50-50 and forget about it?
Yeah, generally, Jim, our average retiree that we work with has 3 to 4 different asset allocation investment strategies. So for the audience, for the listeners, an asset allocation base would be the percentage of stocks and bonds in your portfolio. So for example, 30-70, 30% stocks, 70% bonds. As Jim had mentioned, 50-50 balanced, 70-30. Our average client has 3 to 4. So the global observation would be that if they were all in one allocation, they have a significant portion of their assets that they could afford to have grow at a higher level. Let's say a portion of that 50 should be in 70%. And also on the other side, there's probably a portion of that 50 that should only be in 25 or 30% in stocks for the type of guaranteed income. Now, for that needs bucket, you have a tremendous amount of professors from the University of Pittsburgh, CMU, and other universities and colleges through the tri-state area. And a lot of those, that's what we'll plug in their TIA, their traditional annuity, the TIAA solution that they have. So this isn't just something that we're looking to sell someone 100% of their wallet. If you have something that's better than what we can come up with, we're going to utilize what you have. And as you know, we have tons of money in the TIA annuities to take care of these individual solutions. But when we take a look at the market, the last 20 years, approximately the S&P has done a little bit over 8%. The average individual investor has done a little bit over 4%. It's not just the numbers. It's this behavioral science, the emotions of investing. And what our position is that in retirement, if someone does have their food, clothing, and shelter hyper aggressively invested, that just the average person is going to overreact and say, I'm paying my electric bill, my gas bill, my property taxes out of that account. And if it goes down much over 10%, I'm looking to bail out, or I'm uncomfortable, I'm losing sleep. And that's the exact opposite thing that we would want anyone to go through in retirement.
Right. So you literally have one portfolio to the, let's say, shorter term needs analysis.
Yes.
All right. But then for, let's say, moving out in time and, let's say, going to the wants, you're going to literally have a separate portfolio.
Yeah, separate account, separate portfolio. So even if we took a more of a simplistic situation, and I'll just use a large number for the audience, but if we had $1 million in some, and if an individual had $1 million in a 401k or 403b, And if we decided that their needs were a third of that, let's say 330,000, their wants were a third, 333,000, and their dreams and wishes were a third, another 333,000, when we would do the transfer of assets, we would set up three separate IRAs and manage three separate strategies. And again, two of those would have unique withdrawals coming out of those portfolios to pay, again, the food, clothing, and shelter, and then the other one for paying vacation and travel, et cetera. But what individuals like about it is, and we've said before, very few people, if in fact hardly any we've ever run into, have a PhD in investments and personal finance. But folks in Pittsburgh do have a PhD in common sense. And they just know when it's not right. They just say, you know, I've got, I mean, how many clients last year we brought on board had 100% of their retirement assets in stocks? Again, the audience doesn't need a PhD in finance, say, but it just doesn't sound right. I mean, but yet, you know, advisors have placed them 100% in stocks. They got uncomfortable. They still had experiences they haven't made up with from 2008 and 2009. What clients like about our process is it's blue collar, understandable. They can look at it. They say, okay, I know that makes me happy. I've got a conservative portfolio for food, clothing, and shelter. I understand I need a little more growth. And then the other one for dreams and wishes, they love that bucket because we're not going to touch it generally for at least 10 years, and we can afford to have more growth in that bucket.
Right. And then I know you do a great job of having different types of investments in these different buckets. So, for example, I've noticed that you have been putting the Roth IRAs, and I often recommend Roth IRA conversions, that goes in the last bucket because you're not planning to spend that Roth for the next 2, 5, 10, or maybe never.
Yes, typically to Roth, most clients have a minority of their investments in the Roth IRA, so that is great for a lot of investors to have the full growth in that portfolio. The other one, Jim, I just wanted to mention was these half dozen or so gamma points. The second one is the dynamic withdrawal strategies, and I can't overemphasize the importance that, as you said earlier, and I'm not sure if the audience really fully internalized what you said, but you have at least an annual face-to-face consultation with your clients. We're on average meeting with them face-to-face once, if not twice a year, because we've got, you know, more detail to go through. But it's in these meetings where I like to say that's where the magic happens. Really meeting on our part more than every six months face-to-face in a minimum amount of cases we do. But whatever our projections are, if we project X for the market for the upcoming year and we're working off that from a basis for our financial planning, the market's going to do either X plus 3 or X minus 3. So there's all these fine-tuning and tinkering that goes on an annual basis. And that's what you've been, Jim, an expert on uncovering. You know, there's changes that happen, illness in the family, something else happens. There's additional grandchildren, people move, they've relocated to another state where the taxes are different. So, you know, when these dynamic withdrawal strategies, our portfolios are either going to grow or maybe grow above average or maybe right in line or a little bit less. And it's on these minor adjustments that we make from year to year, from meeting to meeting, that helps us maximize our clients' lifetime withdrawals that they can take out of these portfolios. So this isn't just a monolithic thing that we set up. We're planning on at least 30 years for every individual we meet with for retirement planning. And there's a lot of ongoing adjustments that you and I make to help add value to their retirement plan.
Well, just one example on our end, we haven't had it lately, but in 2008, we were still making Roth IRA conversion recommendations. And a lot of people did, on our advice, make Roth IRA conversions. And then the market went way down. So, geez, wouldn't that be miserable to pay income tax on $100,000 and now the Roth IRA is only worth $60,000? Well, in those review meetings, we said, okay, let's recharacterize or undo the Roth conversion. And frankly, you have been the best advisor to work with in terms of rolling up your sleeves and instead of complaining about the extra work, seeing it as an opportunity to add value to the clients.
Yes, and that is one of our key bullet points in the gamma of the Roth IRA conversions. When Jim runs numbers and you have a number of CPAs in your office that, I mean, the word expert is thrown around, but truly, Steve in the office.
Steve and Cheryl.
I've worked with numerous CPAs, and he's the best that I've ever worked with regarding the Roth IRA conversions. And again, those details. The other one that's overlooked in the gamma, Jim, is you focus on as well as we do, is the Social Security maximization. It's amazing how many individuals have filed massively subpar elections with their decisions that they've made. And I can think of even two or three cases literally within the last 2 weeks one in a same-sex marriage, a couple actually you recommended, gave them some great advice. They went to New York. They had a big party. They got married and, you know, very happy. But, you know, we just ran a calculation today, and actually we're going to present this tomorrow at your office. And the difference between what they were thinking about doing for their Social Security election and what our recommendation is going to be is going to be approximately $105,000 more over their lifetimes if they were just to live to average life expectancy for the husband and wife. So these aren't small amounts of money. These are major improvements.
No, and I'm going to try to shut up, but I will say that sometimes $105,000 might pale. And the other reason why, and by the way, we have actually done 4 shows on Social Security. So if you're interested, you can listen to Jane Bryan Quinn, Mary Beth Franklin, the woman who I forget her name, but she wrote a book on Social Security, and Larry Kotlikoff. And all of them are basically saying the same thing. I'll just do the 1-minute summary because I can't stop myself. In general, we don't like the higher wage earner, at least in the old days was the man. We don't like them taking Social Security at 62. We prefer that they wait until 66. Even at 66, we like to do something called apply and suspend, particularly if their spouse is roughly their age. And that way, their benefit can continue to grow at 8% per year. Then they take it at 70. They have a much higher benefit at 70. And this is what I wanted to add. If they then die and they are survived by their spouse, who might live much longer than they, the spouse will get the higher Social Security benefit for the rest of their life. And sometimes it's not just a difference of $100,000, but several hundred thousand.
Yes, it can be. And also the cost of living increase, which very few investments have the cost of living increase that Social Security provides as well.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of added value there. The other point, Jim, talking about in discussing the gamma that's added is one of the things that Morningstar identified was the incorporation of guaranteed income solutions. And what they found was in that need, what we refer to as the needs bucket, was having that locked down, so to speak, as well as possible. So we generally have 1 of 2 options where we go, you have so many clients that have the TIA annuities. We count that as guaranteed income along with their Social Security. That qualifies by our definition of guaranteed income.
Or a pension, I assume.
Or a pension, yeah, any defined benefit pension plan. There's still about 1 out of every 5 clients that we consult with have a defined benefit pension plan. And if they don't want that for one reason or another, don't have that available, and if they say, you know, PJ, we're willing to take a little bit of market risk here with this portfolio. It doesn't have to be, because when you get into annuities and you look at that, generally high fees, high expenses, there's a lot of minuses on the analysis. But if you take a look at 2080 DFA portfolio, all indexed, that was down approximately 5% in 2008. That's something that a lot of people can live with. I mean, so we're trying to build a portfolio for those needs if they don't want to go the annuity router, don't have it available, that we can build that with an ultra conservative portfolio that would not go down more than 10% in one calendar year.
Well, let's take a quick break now and hear about how listeners might be able to avail themselves of some of this information.
This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring expert advice from CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert Jim Lang. More coming up right here on KQB. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQB AM 1410. For all your financial needs, turn to the Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill. For more information, visit online at paytaxeslater.com. Let's talk more smart money.
Hello and welcome back to the Lang Money Hour. I'm David Baer here with Jim Lang and PJ Danuzzo talking about gamma.
At the beginning of the program, I did a long disclosure saying that I am not independent with PJ. I just want to do a very short repetition in case anybody has gone on. I am not independent with PJ. We have an arrangement where our office does certain conceptual things like Roth IRA conversion analysis, Social Security analysis, wills, estate planning, tax, potentially preparation, but certainly planning. PJ actually does the investments using what I believe is the best low-cost index set of funds on the planet. And then we share fees, and we share one fee, that is a client pays 1% or less to the combination of both of us. so I am not independent with PJ. But one of the things I like about PJ is he is a true fiduciary advisor, meaning that he has your best interests at heart, and he not only has that moral obligation to do what is in your best interest, but also the legal obligation. And he was just talking about fixed income, and I thought I would mention that one thing that I think PJ is very good, where I think most financial advisors are not good, is if somebody comes to his office and has a good fixed income solution in place, certainly for at least a portion of the portfolio, people that, for example, that come in with a portion of their portfolio in TIAA, which is a much better than average fixed income fund, that literally it would be near impossible after paying a fee to beat, or if you came in with CDs that were locked in at a good interest rate, or annuities that might have a penalty provision if you withdraw them early. PJ has been wonderful about utilizing those as part of the overall portfolio, and then also not charging for the oversight of that entire portfolio, which I really, really like. So we were just, I think, finishing up the, let's call it the needs bucket or the fixed income part, but also taxes play a big role. Can you talk a little bit about how somebody, other than the Roth IRA conversions, which, by the way, we probably have about 20 shows on that if you're interested, all, by the way, that can be found at www.paytaxeslater.com. That's, again, www.paytaxeslater.com. And you can just go to the archives, and there's actually about 100 hours of radio show on those archives, including a number with PJ. But can you talk a little bit about tax efficiency and some of the things that you guys do to cut your clients' tax bills?
Yeah, Jim, regarding tax efficiency, and again, I just want to remind any listeners who may have just tuned in, the topic of our show this evening that Jim had came up with was based on the research by Morningstar titled Gamma, G-A-M-M-A. And the research has shown that it's possible to generate an additional 25% annual income for retirees by 5 to 10 processes, functions that wealth managers can serve. And the question you just asked, Jim, of course, is right in line with that. The tax-efficient decisions, with the tax rates going up here within the last couple of years, we had sort of been in a been lulled to sleep a little bit with lower tax rates. Now, with the rates, of course, at 39.6, with the NIT at 3.8%, the additional Medicare at 0.9, it can start to get into some rarefied air. And even not just for high wage earners, but a lot of people have been moved up across the board. And on the tax efficient decisions, you know, our overall philosophy that we've told individuals is it's sort of back to the future. A lot of things that didn't make sense before have come back into vogue now. And one that we've been using the last couple of years a lot more are tax-deferred growth vehicles such as a variable annuity. And if you would have ever told me years ago that I'd place a client in a variable annuity, I would have thought that something was wrong. But it's amazing the improvements in the marketplace. There's a company that we work with that literally charges just a couple of $100 a year in expenses. And we have a lot of DFA indexes available. Since it's an annuity, they don't have all the index available. What we don't have, they do have Vanguard available. So really the benefit here is for individuals who are not able to save enough in their qualified plan, if we need to save another $5,000 or $10,000, in some cases $20,000 or more, but even if it's another $5,000 a year, and if someone's a younger professional, especially in their 20s or 30s or even into their 40s, and looking at that tax drag of that being in a taxable portfolio versus a tax-deferred portfolio, again, just as you were referring to the numbers earlier, Jim, I mean, an improvement of tens of thousands of dollars in the lack of that friction, that tax friction and tax drag. One of the other ones regarding these tax-efficient decisions are, the last time you had had me on, we had focused the concept of the show on asset allocation. And there's another strategy that's a little bit of a higher level regarding asset allocation, and we refer to it as asset location. So some individuals, given their own unique tax bracket, it may be better for us to allocate different types of asset classes in different portfolios. And again, a lot of these strategies have just come about and taken on a lot more material importance the last year to 18 months for certain individuals in certain brackets, where we may be placing all of their fixed income into their IRA accounts. We would place all of their highest growth assets into the Roth IRAs. We'd place the equities positions that would have lower taxable distributions. And again, DFA is great for that because they have a lot of tax managed asset classes into their taxable accounts. And by this asset location of different investments, now we still go through our fundamental analysis of, as you've seen sort of painstakingly, our balance sheet, all the assets and liabilities, the income and expenses. And as you know, we capture everything basically if it's $10 or more per month, so we're as accurate as possible. And we're still taking a look at what those asset allocations would be typically in our buckets. But when we take a look at how the additional value that this places for individuals, and one of the things, again, the CPAs in your office that we've been able to plan and work hand in hand very well is what we would talk, we refer to that's associated with this is our tax bracket management. And again, it wasn't paid as much attention to before, but now there are certain times of people's lives, maybe one of the spouses was maybe downsized in their job or something, for example, and they have a year where there's very low income. And I know we've done a lot of Roth IRA conversions in those instances. But in those instances, what we've also done now the last year or so is doing capital gain recognition in those years. So if we take a look at, we're able to plan with ourselves and working with your firm, that if the audience can think of when you need to start taking your required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half, very often you're locked into a tax rate that never goes down the rest of your life. It's sort of golden handcuffs, so to speak. You've got your Social Security coming in, let's say for both spouses. Both spouses may have required minimum distributions, and you're not going to be able to lower that bracket. So if we're going to be, just to make it simple, let's say at 20% at age 70 and a half, we certainly want to at least fill up brackets at that point. We don't want to have any years, let's say if both spouses retired at 62, we don't want to have years between 62 and 70 that we're not, and it's a little bit counterintuitive to people sometimes, hey, let's recognize these gains now. We'd rather pay 10 or 10 cents on the dollar than what happens a lot of times is people are never able to sell these again because they're going to pay at least 20 cents or 25 cents on a dollar. So the capital gain recognition, the bracket management, the bracket smoothing over time, this also helps with a lot of cases we've worked on as well as gifting strategies on, you have a lot of your clients that like to help out their children and grandchildren. And I can think of dozens of cases just in the last couple of years where your CPAs and we've worked back and forth. How can we maximize this? Here goes the objective of how they want to help their son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter. It could be education. It could be the purchase of a residence, maybe first time, or maybe they're upgrading. But a lot of tax savings, and especially with the rates going up now, we're able to add a lot more value.
Yeah, I actually think it's tremendous that you do this. And a lot of times clients don't even know what you're doing, which is one of the things that I really like about your firm. So, for example, if I hire a service person, whether it's a plumber or a contractor or a roofer, wouldn't it be nice? Now, of course, you're supposed to do your due diligence in picking the person, but wouldn't it be nice if that person truly did have your best interests at heart, was going to do things, if you're not paying attention, that ends up being in your best interest? You know, for example, recommending a Roth IRA conversion or triggering a sale at a capital gains rate that might be zero if you're in the 15% bracket or still low, to do these things that you might not even realize it's happening. I actually think that that is the ultimate that people really want. Not that you shouldn't do your due diligence in picking the appropriate advisor, but to me, since that's what I want as a consumer, I want to go to somebody who knows their stuff, is going to do it in my best interest, you know, for a fair cost. And you guys have just been doing a great job with that. And to me, one of the beauties about what you do is that I think you could save people a heck of a lot more than you're charging. I sometimes say, I wish I could save you 1% of what I'm going to save your family down the road. Of course, That's not ethical. But I think that you're doing a lot to add some of these areas on tax efficiency.
And the one point you made there, Jim, I think just to add on to it would be how we have the fiduciary responsibility to anyone that we're talking to, prospective client or existing client, and how we work around existing holdings that you had mentioned in their portfolios, where we incorporate those. So a lot of times we don't want audience members. A lot of times when people first come in to talk, I think they're like, oh boy, you know, if I go with you, you're going to blow everything up and sell the whole portfolio. But again, from a fiduciary standpoint, if prospective clients have anything that we cannot improve on, we're going to leave that in a portfolio. And oftentimes, as you know, we may think that they have, let's say, a grade of a B regarding their investment in the existing portfolio. We think that we can improve that with an A on our investment regarding the indexes with DFA. But if they have a $20,000 or $30,000 unrealized gain, in a lot of cases, we're not going to have them recognize a gain of $30,000 just to place that in a different investment. So we do incorporate their existing investments as well as possible into our new plan.
Which I actually think is a great service, because you're not saying, okay, you have to sell everything tomorrow, have a huge capital gain, and then we're going to take everything you have, no matter what it is, and we're going to put it in our funds. I know in some situations, people literally are afraid to tell their financial advisor what assets they have for fear that the advisor is going to want to manage everything, where you have a much more pro-client approach of, okay, whatever we're going to manage, we're going to take into account everything else so that your entire portfolio will look like a well-allocated pie. So, for example, let's say in the portfolio that you're not going to manage, there's a 0% small cap or 0% international. The one that you might manage would be overweighted in small cap or international. So people get truly the benefit of a financial advisor, which I think is one of the ideas of Gamma.
Is this a good time to squeeze in one final break?
Sounds great.
Let's do it.
This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring expert advice from CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert Jim Lang. More coming up right here on KQB. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQB AM 1410. For all your financial needs, turn to the Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill. For more information, visit online at paytaxeslater.com. Let's talk more smart money.
Welcome back to the Lang Money Hour with PJ Denuso and Jim Lang.
We are talking about different ways to add value to a client, a combination of things that our firm typically does, like Roth IRA conversions and Social Security and estate planning and tax planning and safe withdrawal rates, and then also everything that PJ's firm does, which is actually investing, typically using low cost or almost exclusively using low cost index funds, and doing really a huge amount of work, which we really didn't talk about, you know, his personalized balance sheet and his personalized income statement and personalized budgets, literally down to the cable bill. But we're trying to add value to a client's portfolio and their lifestyle. And one of the things that we have not yet talked about is liability relative asset allocation optimization. PJ, could you tell the audience what you mean and what actually, and it's not just you, because right now I know you're quoting from the white paper
from Morningstar.
And by the way, we've referred to that a number of times. If anybody is interested in that paper, we would be more than happy to send that to them. If anybody wants to call our office at 412-521-2732, again, that's 412-521-2732, and ask for that white paper, we would be delighted to send it out to you. What does the white paper or you mean by liability relative asset allocation optimization?
Yeah, that's a mouthful, Jim. In plain English, individuals have been focusing entirely too much on the investment or investment strategy in their portfolio and the risk around that investment strategy. So, for example, if the overall portfolio expected rate of return was 8%, and you would look at the standard deviation around that return and just start to project your downside risk, et cetera. What we rather get clients to think of is, what is their unique number? What do they need? Their own sort of personal family index, if you will. And oftentimes, individuals need 5% overall growth in their portfolio per year to be successful. It might be 6%, it might be 7%. So if you take a look at, again, over the average 10-year period of time, three out of four active managers on average are underperforming the index that they're up against. If they're a large manager, the S&P 500, if they're a small cap manager, the Russell 2000, instead of having what Morningstar is saying is all this focus that everyone's had has been really misdirected and misguided, because if you are able to outperform your respective index, generally it's a very, very small percentage. They're saying there's a lot of meat on the table here, so to speak, that's being left untouched that we can apply and put on the center of the plate, so to speak, in all these additional areas of gamma. So the liability driven, you know, a lot of cases I can think of, Jim, if we sort of start at the top of the pyramid and work down, is when we take a look at one of the main things we're thinking of globally when we go into a consultation. And again, most of your individuals meet you at a workshop where you've spoken with them in a small group at a workshop, medium-sized group at a workshop. They talk to you in between. They come into the office and have one or two consultations with you.
And we give them a huge box of books and CDs and DVDs.
A lot of reading material. Yeah, a lot of material.
As much as they can stand, usually.
A lot of educational material. Yeah,
and dark chocolate.
Yes, yeah, they get a lot of goodies.
No, popcorn, actually.
Yeah, and then you know, we have on average two and sometimes three consultations, so there's a lot of information. We're getting to know them really financially, intimately. And one of the things we're looking at very simply is, and I've always phrased it to individuals, is, you know, when we're looking at your situation as an individual or as a couple, what is it out there that can knock over your little happy retirement apple cart? I mean, what is it that you're not thinking about that can still defeat from the jaws of victory, so to speak? And when we're looking at matching up your asset allocation, it gets back to the point that we made earlier, is it's surprising that oftentimes the only thing that could possibly derail or cause someone to fail in retirement is that they're invested too aggressively. So again, if one of our mantras at our firm is, if we only need an overall allocation of 50% in stocks, that's all we're going to place is 50% in stocks. And it may sound like common sense to the audience, but again, we operate, as Jim said, under a fiduciary standard. Most people who invest money only operate under a suitability standard. So completely different. Something only has to be suitable. What we're recommending is what we would do in your same exact situation. Everything that I have is invested exactly the way as what I recommend to my clients, my mothers.
And by the way, I will mention, after you gave a little talk to our firm, that we voted 15-0 to move our retirement plan to Dimensional Fund Advisors.
Yeah. With us at Danuzzo, all 100%. Jim as well, his entire retirement assets in his 401k are with us, with DFA, Dimensional Fund Advisors. So it's a lot different from a fiduciary standpoint, what we would do in someone's shoes. So if we don't need more than 50% in stock, so oftentimes it's better for the firm that's managing the money to have as much in stock. So there's a competing objectives here. If someone's managing a firm, yeah, you want as much as stock as possible, because your overall firm is going to grow a lot faster to higher numbers and assets under management, which means you get billed more. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people to get left on the side of the road, so to speak, that, you know, there's a lot of grandmas and grandpas that can't handle 100% in stocks or 80% in stocks. So again, that gets back to that liability driven. So we take a look and we even dig down that extra level that we discussed earlier, Jim. What are these specific liabilities? And I think the audience can agree, if they're thinking, sitting at home or driving their car now, that your needs are different than your wants, and your wants are different from your dreams, and they can appreciate the different strategy to be able to meet those objectives and goals.
Well, I know that when people meet with you, they know that you're the real thing. And then the other thing that I'll mention, which is unheard of, and I don't think it will continue because somebody's going to die or somebody's going to become disgruntled for one reason or another, but in a little bit over 2 years, we have actually gone from zero to, the last number was $107 million under management. You probably have a new number for me that's even higher. And not one person has said, hey, this isn't working, and then backed out. So we have an unheard of 100% retention. But there are some other things that we can do to really help a client in their overall planning and to succeed financially, which isn't always the riskiest strategy having the most return. Should we go on to some of the areas like Social Security and Roth IRA conversions, et cetera?
Yeah, the Social Security. One thing, Jim, I think we were focusing on strictly the gamma, but also built within our portfolios. When you go through years like 2008 again, you really see the benefit of proper asset allocations, all of our bonds, our, we call them the big four, our four, the first four bond funds. 90-some percent of our clients have our four bond funds, which basically represent a short-term bond index. They all made money in 2008. There was, believe it or not, some national, some of the top bond funds in the country lost 10, 15, 20, 25% in 08. So also, we're mitigating a lot of risk from that perspective. One thing I was going to mention, Jim, too, we had touched on it earlier, that dynamic withdrawal strategy. And I just have a chart in front of me, for example, because it's impossible to remember all these numbers. But we're looking with clients, what are safe rates or withdrawals if we have anywhere from 5 years to 40 years of remaining over our lifetime in the portfolio? And it can change quite dramatically. And it's nice to know for clients that in portfolios, and we track portfolios from 20% in stocks up to 60%. Normally, we don't go above 50% for withdrawals, 60% at the maximum. But as you get older, because a lot of times people are thinking, they come into us and are actually being too conservative on the withdrawals. I know you have had that conversation with individuals, and they come in and say, Jim's begging me to spend money. You know, please travel, take that extra trip to Europe, et cetera. But it's nice whenever we can show them that we do have a high, extraordinarily high probability of success at a certain age, that they could withdraw 5 or 6 or 7% as they get older, that it's not just the 4%. So again, it's the point we want to make with the audience, the last point that I have is, it's a dynamic, the magic happens when we're meeting with you on the annual basis and your team of CPAs and estate planning attorneys, when we're meeting with us on a semi-annual or annual basis. And it's all these continuous minor adjustments, listening to the client, going through life with them and adjusting their retirement plan to help them maximize their success.
And finally, I'll close on one last note, because I know that we both have this in common, that we both see this as our fiduciary duty of literally watching over people's portfolios, knowing what makes a huge difference in the quality of their lives, the lives of their children, and just do everything in our power to make sure that we protect and watch over people and see that as really a critical, critical obligation and opportunity to do the best we can for our clients.
And to be there for the long time, for the long haul. Well, I guess this is a good place. We might as well stop the show here. And I want to say thanks to PJ Denuso. You can reach him directly if you'd like to at his firm's website, which is www.denuso.com. Thanks also to Amy, our in-studio producer, and Lang Financial Group Program Coordinator Amanda Cassidy Schweinsberg. As always, you can hear an encore broadcast of this show at 9:05 this Sunday morning here on KQV. And you can also access the audio archive of past programs, including written transcripts, at the Lang Financial Group website, www.paytaxeslater.com, under Radio Show. And while there, check out the series of short videos from Jim's interview with John C. Bogle, founder of the Vanguard Group. You can also call the Lang offices directly at 412-521-2732. Finally, mark your calendars for next Wednesday, April 2nd at 7:05, and the next new edition of the Lang Money Hour, when Jim will welcome Robert Siciliano, an expert on seniors and identity theft, to the show.
Thanks for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Check out the show archives and listen on demand anytime at paytaxeslater.com. KQV listeners can receive free tickets to Jim Lang's Pittsburgh area workshops and more. Call the Lang Financial Group at 412-521-2732 and reserve your seats and meet Jim Lang in person, or visit paytaxeslater.com. That's paytaxeslater.com.